Philippians chapter 4 in the New Testament. Paul is encouraging the Philippian Christians. He's thanking them for renewing, reviving their financial support of him in his ministry. And here's what he says to them in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. He says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." It's the word of the Lord. How many of you have ever lived lean? Now, I'm not talking about diet. That may have been involved, but I'm talking about just living with less, done with less. Had, you know, not a lot of extra cash left over at the end of a month. It's something that I recommend. I've been there, and it's character forming to learn how to live with less. We are just so enculturated in our affluent society here in America to just seek and strive for more and more and more stuff. More money. I want more income. I want to raise that minimum wage. Let's get more income. We all just need a little more in our pockets, and because we need a little bit more in our garage. We need a little bit more in our closet. We need a little bit more in our pantry. A little bit more would make us happy. A little bit more might satisfy us a little bit, make us feel a little more secure, a little more comfortable. But living lean is actually a really good place to be. Living lean is the place of trust. Living lean is where you have to look to someone or something other than yourself for your next meal, for your next paycheck, your next month's rent. You have to trust. And for Christians, we have a great one to trust in, and that's the Lord. He provides for us. He is our sustainer, our provider, our keeper. He is our good shepherd. And He wants to care for His children. And Paul is saying to the Philippians here that I've learned how to live with less. I've learned what it means to abound, and I've learned what it means to be brought low. I know in whatever situation I am to be content. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And that secret, of course, as we looked at last week, is verse 13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. There's just so much to be said when it comes to the Bible for honoring God with little things. My thesis today, my main idea, my sermon in one sentence is this, that God loves to do big things with little gifts given in big faith. Right? God loves to do big things with little gifts given with big faith. And you don't have to look far or you don't have to look long to find examples of this all over the Bible. And I'd like to look at just four of them today. And I start with the Philippian Christians themselves. And turn with me, if you would, back a couple of pages to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8. Paul's writing now to the Corinthian church, a church located in a city that was more affluent. It was a bigger hub of trade and commerce than Philippi was. And he's writing to these Corinthian Christians and he's telling them about the Philippian Christians. He says in chapter 8, verse 1, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." Now, Macedonia, it would be like saying the state of Ohio and Perry being the Philippians. All right, so Philippi, the city, was located in the region of Macedonia. "We want you to know about the grace of God that's been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, and as I can testify, beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us." Paul is just exuding praise for these impoverished Macedonian Christians who have given, as he says, out of their extreme poverty. Now, the church in Jerusalem is who this love offering is for. They're suffering. They're starving. They're suffering persecution. They're doing without. And Paul has taken it upon himself as the apostle to the Gentiles to go to these Gentile churches that he has had a hand in establishing and to invite them to show Christian love and support to their suffering brothers and sisters, their Jewish brothers and sisters who are suffering in Jerusalem. And so he's asking them to give, and he asks the Corinthians here to give, and he gives as an example of giving the Philippians, these Christians who are experiencing extreme poverty of their own. They're giving. Let me just show you what honoring the Lord with a little looks like here. They gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means. Now, what that means, let me translate that. That means they gave so much that they essentially did harm to themselves. They did without so that others could have. Now, here's how this example illustrates how God likes to do big things with little gifts given with big faith. We don't know exactly how much the Philippian churches gave. We don't know. We don't know the dollar amount. But here's what God did with it. It was probably a smaller financial gift than the Corinthian gift was. Remember, it's a bigger church, probably in a bigger, more affluent area. The Corinthians probably ended up giving more dollars, more money to the relief aid. But one of the ways God likes to use small gifts in big ways, given with big faith, is He likes to use your small gift to encourage and inspire others to do the same. I believe that the Corinthian gift was bigger in part because the Philippian example was so great. Here are these destitute Christians, and look how much they gave. We can do more. Let's do more. Not in a hey, look how we gave more than you, but in a, hey, we can do our part. Let's do our part. And God used that to bless the church of Jerusalem in a big way. So God likes to use small gifts in big ways when they're given with big faith. So let's turn now to the Old Testament. 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Look at another example here. Prophet Elijah is in the midst of his prophetic ministry amid a very idolatrous, rebellious Israel at the time under wicked King Ahab. He goes to a place called Zarephath. 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." She said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. She and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. So here we have a woman who is down to her last handful of flour, down basically to her last meal, for she and her son. And here comes this prophet. "Hey, before you eat your last meal, make something for me." And she has to exert and exhibit faith in order to make this small offering, just a little cake for Elijah the prophet. She has to show some faith here. What does God do? He does something big. He blesses her and her family until he then sends rain on the earth again. Ever felt like that? Ever been in that situation? I'm down to my last few bucks, and I've got this pressing need in my life. Maybe it's the car payment. Maybe it's paying for daycare or something. And I've got the church that I haven't supported yet this month. Ever been in that spot? I'm just saying, God, this is our God here. As we look at this story, this is the same God, all right, who honored the faith of this widow all the way back in the Old Testament. That same God will honor your faith in giving what you see as your last little bit of sustenance. If you honor Him first with that, if you honor Him with your little, He likes to do big things with that. We turn to the New Testament now for a couple more examples, and we'll wrap up with these two. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, well-known story. It's recounted for us in all four of the Gospels. Jesus feeds the 5,000. John chapter 6. They come to the crowd who had gathered there, who were following Him. Jesus went up on the mountain. John says in chapter 6, verse 1, "After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following Him because they saw the signs that He was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat down with His disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up His eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward Him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?' He said this to test Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get even a little.' One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, 'There's a boy here. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish.'" And then check what Andrew says. "But what are they for so many?" There's that seed of doubt there, still at work in Andrew's heart, probably at work in all the disciples' heart as they're looking at this massive throng of hungry people and realizing we don't have any bread, we don't have anything. And here's this kid who we don't even know his name, but who willingly gives his lunch, his only meal, to to Jesus again. And what happens? God likes to do, loves to do big things with little gifts given with big faith. This kid had to have faith. He had to believe, or he was going to go hungry. He had to believe, well, Jesus, I've heard some things about you. I've heard you heal people, and I've heard you cast out demons and help people. Here you go. There's faith there. I'm willing to take the chance that I might be hungry in order to see you bless all of these people. And God, of course, used Jesus, of course, did that. He prayed and blessed the food and broke it, and there was plenty of leftovers. But it took one boy giving everything he had with faith. Our last just example is the widow's offering in Luke chapter 21. Just flip back a couple of pages. Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. Jesus, he's teaching. Sadducees and the scribes are coming to him. The Sadducees are questioning about the resurrection, of course, because they don't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus is warning his disciples, beware of the scribes, watch out for them, these hypocrites. They love to walk around in long robes and be greeted, have the best seats. And they love to devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. He says they will receive the greater condemnation right there at the end of chapter 20. But then Luke tells us Jesus looked up and he saw the rich. This is not a parable, by the way. We know Jesus taught with a lot of parables and stories. This actually happened. This was an actual event that took place. He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. He saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. What the Lord ended up doing with that small offering, we don't know. What big thing he ended up doing with that woman's small offering, we don't know. All we know is that he acknowledges to the disciples, she put in more. What she put in was more precious and more valuable and more useful to me than all those big bags of money the rich people put in. Our God loves to take pennies and multiply them to the ends of the earth. I remember when a kid, I'm not back in the children's department, so I don't know if we do offerings back there or not. I haven't heard of it that we do. But I remember we had Sunday school offering when I was a kid. And we would get to put our couple of quarters or nickels or whatever we brought, and we'd put it in the offering basket, and they'd come and they'd count the Sunday school offering. And I just believe God was doing something to me to train me in the principle of honoring Him first. And I think that was really useful in my life. Did you do Sunday school offerings? So who all did Sunday school offerings when you were there? Yeah, see? It's important that we learn at a very early age in life, when we honor God with our little, He likes to do things with that. He loves that. He loves to bless people. There's no telling where my nickels and quarters ended up being spent, but I'm just choosing to believe that God used them to get some missionary on the field somewhere. Thinking back to when that would have been, that would have been the 80s. That would have been about the time the Singermans, the family that had served so long in Benin, where we went this summer, who are now serving in the Congo. That would have been about the time they were deploying, going to language school in France, and then going to Africa to begin their ministry there. I'm just choosing to believe that I helped them eat. I helped them put gas in their car so they could go. God just loves to do that stuff. And so I just want to encourage you with that this morning. As Paul was encouraging these Philippian Christians, listen, everything you have, whether much or little, has come straight from Him. And so it might as well be given back to Him. And it might as well be given in faith. And He's going to test your faith in that, okay? It's never going to be easy. It's never going to be just, you know, there will always be, I believe, a sense of the cost in our own hearts. We'll recognize, this is costing me. But it's so that we understand what sacrifice is. And so I just want to encourage you, honor God with your little. And He may choose to bless you with much, but He may let you stay with your little for a while and bless others, and that's just as good. If He blesses other people, and because of your small gift of time, of money, given with great faith, someone else will come to faith through that gift. And so that's my encouragement to you this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll begin our business meeting. Father, thank you so much for this day and bringing us together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how your word impacts our lives and changes our lives. I thank you so much for Edward, Lord, and this work that you're doing in his heart and in his life, and the word that was planted in his life by Hank so many years ago, who took him and his son Henry along to do outreach, to sacrifice their time and to serve others, and just began to set that pattern in Ed's life that he now wants to carry that work on. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each of our hearts and for what you're doing in this church. We're going to approve a budget here, Lord, that would just be laughed at by some churches in some places. What are you going to do with that tiny budget? And yet, Lord, we see it as a small thing that we can give to you, that we hope and pray you'll do big things with. Do big things with our small gifts. Do big things, Lord, with our small lives. We want to give them all of ourselves to you with great faith for your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.